Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah, wa kafa. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ذلكم بأنه إذا دعي الله وحده كفرتم وإن يشرك به تؤمنوا فالحكم لله العلي الكبير صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening. Alhamdulillah, in our last session, we covered a very important topic, understanding that in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only made Islam as a natural religion for every human being. And this needs to be understood very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, he had the full power. If he wanted, he could have sent the first man to be the wali of Allah, a very pious man, but not the Nabi of Allah. If he wanted, he could have done that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his divine wisdom, Allah did not choose Adam to be the wali of Allah, but Allah chose him to be the Nabi of Allah. And what is the wisdom for selecting the first man to be the Nabi of Allah? So there is no doubt in anyone's mind that the only established religion on this earth can only be Deen-e-Islam. Maybe if he was not a Nabi, somebody might put a question that because he was not a Nabi, there is a possibility he might have done something wrong, and maybe it was kufr that he was promoting, aliyazu billah. Anyone can say anything for someone who is not a Nabi. But when you are talking about a Nabi of Allah, you have to be very careful. Why? Because a Nabi is ma'asoom, infallible. And a Nabi that comes into this dunya, he is the most intelligent and he is connected with wahi and revelation. Adam alayhi salam lived in this dunya also in the company of Hazrat Jibreel Amin. So Jibreel Amin would also frequently visit him because he was the Nabi of Allah. So there should be no doubt in a person's mind that the only natural religion that Allah has selected for all human beings is only Islam. That is why in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Anyone who is going to choose any other ideology, any other religion, then this is never going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why we have to understand this very important message of Islam, that the very seed of Tawheed was first planted by Adam alayhi salam himself. The oneness of Allah. And there was nothing else but the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in his own way, he was also praying namaz to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why Allah chose a Nabi. So there is no such thing as anyone to even think, al-iyazu billah, that there is another way of understanding God Almighty but Islam. So this is sabak number one that we need to understand. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Adam alayhi salam to be the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, just to explain that what shaitan targets is tawheed. What does he target? Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. That is what his aim is. And what he does is that he will either want to involve a person into shirk by showing him false gods. Or another methodology is that if a person becomes so arrogant in his thinking, then he might even start to say that, no, you know what, there is no such thing as God. There is no such thing as God. Like Fir'aun, what did he say in his arrogance? Ana rabbukumul a'la. If there is any God, then there is no one greater than me. And when Ya'juj and Ma'juj come in this dunya, they will want to cause chaos and havoc and destroy everything that's in this world. So they will look right and left and they will say that, I think we've destroyed everything. But we hear that they say that someone is there up in the heavens. So they will shoot whatever they have to shoot, which is their form of weapons at that time, and they will shoot it up in the air. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will want to make them look like fools. When they see, for an example, the arrows that fall back down to them, it will be colored in red as if there's blood on it. And they will think that, oh, you know what? We've done everything. We've sorted upstairs and we've sorted downstairs. So this is what happens when you leave Islam, you become mad. What do you become? Mad. You don't know how to clean your body. You don't know how to dress up. When you look at your face, it's filthy because there's no noor. There's darkness that engulfs you. You look at a person who's a kafir, there's no noor, there's no light, there's no flash, there's nothing. He has no understanding, he's got no focus in life. And it is mustaqil azab, a punishment, when you turn away from this very natural deen, a way of life, what we say religion in English. The word religion does not fit the meaning of deen in Islam, but we say it for our understanding. So he will target tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be removed from your heart. And so we talked in our last session, the first batch of kufr was in the time of Nuh alayhi salam. Wad, Suwa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq and Nasr. They were wiped out as a punishment from Allah. Then the second batch of kufr started in the time of Qawm-e Aad, Qawm-e Thamud and Qawm-e Saleh, Hud alayhi salam, Saleh alayhi salam, and all these messengers that were living at that time went to this community, Qawm-e Aad and Qawm-e Thamud. And then later on, kufr also continued in the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. As for, why don't you give him a chair? Why don't you give him a chair? Koi hai kursi? Are you okay on the floor? He's okay? Yeah, okay. Okay, fine, fine. Jazakallah, jazakallah. Shukran, shukran. You okay? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in his time, again, kufr was there. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, what he wanted to do was to make sure that there is this complete fresh batch of people that will only believe in Tawheed also. He was a very intelligent man. So from the beginning, as his child was born, because he was the Nabi, he wanted to make sure that the foundation is laid down properly. That is why sometimes you have to divorce evil company. Not sometimes, most of the time. If you want to be good, then understand you can only keep your tawbah and you will only be on the straight path if you have given talaq and divorce to the wrong things that are around you. If you are addicted to phone, then at night keep the phone somewhere else. You have to fight yourself. Otherwise, you are only going to be fooling yourself. For a few hours you will become pious, and for the next few hours you will become again shaitan. So you have to, you know, be on the ball and divorce things. Ibrahim alayhi salam, subhanallah, left his city of birth with the land of the prophets. He left that. He left the land of the prophets. And he went to this unknown territory. Unknown, completely unknown. In a desert. The surroundings are by mountains and red hot mountains, by fiery mountains. No survival even for the animals. Extremely hot. One man, one baby, husband, there with the wife, gets to this zone, looks at the place around, says to the wife, "Salaam alaikum, I leave you here." Are you right? What trust in Allah. Ajeeb, eh? The trust in Allah, ajeeb. You don't do that to your partners, eh? Mawli Sahib was talking lovely, iman and yaqeen, you know, iman and yaqeen, trust in Allah. No, no, he was a man of revelation. Upon you there's no revelation. There's a man of wahi. Anyway, he left. And the baby is now growing up to be a strong young man. And he is going to be the successor to his father, Ismail alayhi salam. This zone of Arabia is untouched. All other people of Tawheed. What is it? Ibrahim alayhi salam, every few days, a few steps, and he's into Arabia. This was his mu'ajizah. What was it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps, Saudi. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps, back to Sham. That other wife. That other family. But you guys only have to do one run. So Ibrahim alayhi salam went there. Subhanallah. When he went there, you know, all these are recorded. Who the son got married to, who was the first wife, then who he got married to, all that is another topic. But then Ibrahim alayhi salam, as a father, is doing tarbiyat of his son. Like Adam alayhi salam did tarbiyat of his children, that everyone should be growing up upon iman and tawheed. So now you have this thriving community. And who bumps into mum and son is Jurhum, people of Yemen. That is why they say that, you know, the real Arabs are Aslul Arab, are the people of Yemen. What are they? The people of Yemen. Why do they say that historically? Because it was the Jurhum tribe that came from the southern part of Arabia. Jurhum migrated and they came here. So they were Yamanis. And they became the family of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. And Ismail alayhi salam then became the Nabi of Allah. And being the Nabi of Allah, the entire Kabail, all of them were all Muslims. Everyone was Muslims. So I'm just going through some understanding that this part of Arabia, all of them were Muslims. All of them were Muslims. But then how did Kufr enter Arabia when Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was born amongst them? All of them were pagans and idol worshippers. So what happened to the pristine teachings of father and son, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam? The answer to this is, protecting ourselves, Allah has given that responsibility to us. We are not some special people that if we become very carefree in our lifestyle, then we will still expect Allah is going to keep us solid Muslims. No, no, no. How you are is how your life is going to be, how your generation is going to be. The responsibility is on us. That we have to understand. We live in a very pragmatic world. You know, whatever, however hard you work, even if you're not a Muslim, and if you work hard, you will see the fruits of it. No matter what. Even if you're not a Muslim. That is why you see the technology around us. You know, they are non-Muslims that are at a very high top level of creating all sorts of things in terms of technology. Why? They worked hard. Allah is showing them the fruits. So whatever you work hard, you want to become the wali of Allah, nobody is going to stop you. You want to become a hafiz of the Quran, nobody can stop you. The month of Ramadan is coming. If you want to be good, nobody can stop you. You just need that willpower. Bas, finished. If that willpower is there, then Allah's madad and nusrat, His help is with you. So anyway, what happened to Arabia? Now this is where money and wealth can corrupt a person very quickly. That is why you will see very few sit in an alim's gathering who are very rich from amongst the Muslims. The people who even sit with the ulama are the middle class. But the people who are very wealthy, no offense to anyone who's wealthy, but the mindset, you see, when you become too comfortable, when you have a lot of money, sometimes it's a downfall. And sometimes, alhamdulillah, it's a very great ni'mah, because what you have, if you know how to play your cards right, you can be very rich in the hereafter. But what people don't understand, the importance of charging your iman, and that port is only this. That port is only the pulpit. There's no other way. There's just no other way. You can give charity, you can give this, you can give this, you can give this, but for you to have solid iman is for you to listen to the ulama, sit down and listen to the ulama. That ruhaniyat is untouchable. And that goes from one generation to another generation. That is how it's working. From one generation until now, this is the system. You can fly in planes and your Airbus and technology changes, but this system doesn't change. You are not going to change the system of namaz. You are going to pray namaz just like that. Qiyam, qawma, ruku, sujood, everything. Attayyat, salam, alaikum, salam. That's how you pray namaz. That's how it's going to be. The official language of namaz is Arabic. So somebody says, Allahu Akbar, all praises be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the merciful one, the gracious one. He is the Malik and the owner of the day of Akhirah. Only you, Allah, we worship. Only, Ya Allah, you are the one we ask for help. Allah, guide us to the right path, the path of those you are going to reward in the hereafter. Allah, don't make us from those who you are angry with and those that are deviated. Ameen. You want an imam like that? It can work, you know. Sometimes people become very modern. They want a lady to do imamat. they don't want a man. They say gender neutral, gender equality. Ladki ko lao. Then how are you going to pray namaz? Allahu Akbar. Who's the imam today? Some people are going to pray. Today when you have not a handsome man like me and you have full concentration, then imagine if you change the imams. So the official language that Allah has selected is what? Arabic, why? You can't change that. There are certain things that don't change. Arabic is must finish. Adhan you have to give in Arabic. Quran is in Arabic. Must. That's why Quran you can't, even if you do the translation, the enjoyment is in pure Arabic. But khair, what was I talking about and where did I go? Allah, main kahan se kahan jump kar raha hoon yaar, itni kude maar raha hoon aaj. Ji? Yeah, yeah, the rich person. The rich person. Now, Jazakallah, Brother Abid. Now what happened in Arabia, a wealthy man, the richest man at that time in Makkah, Amr ibn Luhay, what was his name? Amr ibn Luhay, from the Khuzai tribe, very rich man. Just to give you some understanding of his wealth, he would always have 20,000 camels in his ownership. A day would not pass by. Every day 20,000 camels, Arabian camels, were in his ownership. Very wealthy man. And you know, when you're a wealthy man, you have a bit of a clout, isn't it? People like to listen to you, and when you splashing money here and there, then you have a lot of people, you know, looking at you and obeying you, and sometimes this is what money does to you. So anyway, so he was a businessman. And when he was traveling, in his travels, he came to this locality where people were worshipping idols. And these were not just, you know, idols made by, you know, mud and dirt, but very special idols, kind of. It had some kind of a feature to it. So he looked at them and he was stunned. He says, wow, you know, this is something different. So the people who were worshipping these idols, he said, what are you doing? So he says, you see, these are our gods. And when we worship these idols, we defeat our enemies. We defeat our enemies. And when we are not well, it will give us shifa. And it brings us rain also. It gives us rain. So now Amr ibn Luhay was saying, wah, Makkah, we need rain. You know, we want to be very strong, you know, to defeat enemies. Perfect. And everybody wants good health. So he says, you know what, can I take some of your gods? So he says, no, you have to buy it, not free. You have to pay for everything. So he said, no problem, pay for it. So he took about half a dozen idols, thinking that, you know what, I'm a rich guy anyway. Let me take it back to Makkah. The house built by Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam is the house of Tawheed. What was it? House of. Now I can't put anything inside this. So he says, you know, a lot of people come and do tawaf anyway. I'll stick the 6-7 idols where we do tawaf, where the mataf is. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 there. And people says, oh, you know what? What is this? Amr? Because, well, you know, it's like a lucky charm. What is it? Like a lucky charm. You know, you get love birds that go on a bridge and then you're supposed to put a lock on a bridge. Have you seen that? You haven't seen that? I've seen it. Look, puts me down. Yeah, la. But anyway, so they say, you know, you lovers, what they do is that they have like a lock on a bridge and they lock it there. And they say, you know, the two will remain together. Eh, hota hi nahi hai. Two never remain together. Vichari itni achhi Diana, usne bhi Charles ko chhor diya. To chhore is baat ko. So anyway, and sometimes, you know, when you see a fountain, you drop your pennies and your loose change, and then they say, make a wish and your wish will come true, or there's a water well and they say, make a wish here. All this wish-wash is guna. It slowly opens the door for shaitan to take you towards kufr. That's why you must never do shak. What is it? Never do. Don't have this mindset. You know, I have to do this, I have to do this. If I don't do this, this is all shaitan tampering, starting to chip you away. Be very careful. So he said it's kind of a lucky charm. They say that if you pray here, you will defeat your enemies if you're not well. So they say that Amr ibn Luhay said this. So now they were saying that what about the God that we are worshipping, Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam's God, Ismail alayhi salam, our forefathers, Kabila, Jurhum and everybody. So they said it's okay, we'll worship Allah, and need be on the side, we'll also just wish a few things here. So it started by wishful thinking. And then this wish became very, very strong. It became a prayer. And then this prayer became a firm aqidah, a belief. And then this firm belief became a ritual and a form of worship. So slowly, slowly now, then what happened is that when different merchants were traveling out elsewhere, they said that if Amr ibn Luhay can buy something for Makkah and put it there, we'll also buy something. So now people were buying more idols, and these idols were then connected to their tribes, that the tribe got this idol, it belongs to them. This is Amr ibn Luhay, Khuzai people, this tribe, this tribe, this tribe, until even outside there were so many idols, so they decided that, you know what, we need to fit many of them inside the Kaaba. So they got about 300 idols inside the Kaaba. See how shaitan works. One man, Amr ibn Luhay, changed the entire community. Ajib. When you don't have this strong mind, when a person starts to compromise with Islamic principles, when he feels that, you know what, I can change things anytime I want, this is danger. That's why Islam does not allow any kind of change. And shaitan wants you to change. Shaitan, when you look in the mirror, he makes you think that, you know what, I look like a girl. Is it a boy? Is it a girl? No, it's Superman. Who is it? Who is it? You know, he makes you think like that. He's messing around with your memory. You know, and you have foolish friends that kind of say, well, if you feel you're a girl, why don't you put on a dress? Then slowly, from being a man, a strong man, will make you a trans. And all, everything, the corruption starts. Shaitan will want to destroy you anyhow he can. Anyhow he can. If you don't abide by the principles of Allah and His Rasul. Very important, my respected brothers and elders. So what happened? This complete change, you see, Amr ibn Luhay. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have seen in my dream Amr ibn Luhay in Jahannam. His intestines were taken out from his stomach, and he was walking whilst the inner intestines were being dragged in Jahannam. That is the punishment he was getting, because he was the first man who opened up kufr after Ismail alayhi salam in Arabia, and then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came in the city of Makkah, and subhanallah, Allah's Nabi revolutionized the thinking. 100% everyone became people of Tawheed. That is Rasulullah. These were incredible individuals. You know, the mushrikeen of Makkah were people who were very strong in their false beliefs. And it was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that changed them. And the Quran is a witness to that. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you will see, O my Nabi, in your lifetime, tribes upon tribes upon tribes upon tribes that will be coming to you and will be reading the kalima. And subhanallah, within a short span of time, within 100 years, Islam went to China, North Africa, this side, all the way down this side, towards Indonesia, Malaysia, going down, all the way to Russia, all that zone, then in Europe, the Balkans and all that, subhanallah. Can you imagine how fast Islam spread? This is the barakat. When you are on your principles, this is something that is very, very important. But he was a man, and he felt, because I'm a leader, and he gave the wrong information to the people, and people were following him. So khair, in Arabia, this is how kufr came. I actually want to talk about contemporary religions. Contemporary religions. In the modern world, what is our setting? And how should we understand things? So that, inshallah, if we can understand this, our iman will be safe. My brothers, first of all, what we need to understand is that the definition of kufr, to be a kafir, there are three levels of kufr. How many levels? Very important for us to understand. When you see someone who is a kafir, you must have so much information about kufr that you yourself can define which category he fits in. Is it level 1? Or is it level 2? Or is it level 3? So all of the people in this world are in kufr level 1, level 2, or level 3, and the rest are only Muslims. The rest are only people of Jannah. People of Jannah and people of Jahannam, in simple words. So to give you an example, if you allow me to carry on, I'll leave you. So I'm going to explain, yeah? So what happens is that in this world that we live in, you will see our ulama, our scholars have shown a lot of aggression to the religion of Qadianism, to the religion of scholars have been very forthright in exposing them. Now sometimes you might be wondering, there's Christianity, there's Judaism, there's Hinduism, there's Sikhism, there's every kind of other group of people, but the Mauli Sahabs like to really take a good charge, you know, to the Qadianis. Why? What is the problem? You see, the problem is because we don't know our deen properly. Why Qadianis? People like, subhanallah, as Mufti Zarwali Khan would say, Ayatum min ayatillah, Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah alayh, the father of Khatme Nabuwat. Subhanallah, Mufti Mahmood Saab, Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi, and Maulana Ataullah Shah Bukhari. These people are at the forefront in dismantling Qadianism and have organized Khatme Nabuwat effort in every part of the world. So what's the difference between Qadianism, that religion, and Christianity and other religions? And inshallah, I want to answer that at two levels. One is a simple answer, and one is a bit technical, and we have to concentrate for us to understand. But if you understand, you will understand everything. My respected brothers, for an example, if there's someone who is a butcher, a non-Muslim, and he is selling meat, and as a Muslim, when you go to his shop and you ask him, is this halal? He says, no, sorry, this is not halal, this is haram. This is not halal, this is, it's not been slaughtered according to the Islamic way. So it's not halal. It's okay. Thank you. Then you go to another shop, and he is selling pork, but he is saying to the Muslim people that this is halal lamb. What is this? Halal lamb. It's pork, but what is he saying? It's halal lamb or sheep, whatever. It's mutton, halal mutton. Now, who is a greater criminal? From the two, who is a greater criminal? The second one, of course. The first one has just simply said, "By look, you know, this is not halal. I'm saying it to you from the outset. You people are different and we are different. You know, you want to eat halal, go somewhere else. But this is what we eat. So you go." But this person is wanting you to eat haram by deceiving you and telling you that this is halal. He's a greater criminal. Now someone gives you sharbat to drink and says this is mixed with zamzam water, but actually it is with alcohol. It is with, but he's not telling you. So he's a greater criminal, no? He's a greater criminal. Likewise, my respected brothers, when you look at Qadianism, this is the issue with them. That other religions openly say, "By look, you people are different and we are different." But what they say, "No, no, 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 no. We are the same." But anyway, that is still not going to allow you to understand. We have to further clarify this matter. So now, my respected brothers and elders, when someone is deceiving you at this level, understand there are three types of kafirs. How many? Three types of kafirs. Number one kafir is your ordinary Hindu, Sikh, Christian, Jews. They will just say to you, "By, you people are Muslims, we are Hindus. You people are Muslims, we are Christians. You people are this, this is what we are. Your way of life is different, our way of life is different." No problem, by. Simple. What are they? Kafir. Understand that? Kafir is not a swear word. Kafir is someone who is not a Muslim. So, okay, you are a kafir. Number two, going back to my brother on the left, is that kafir who is a munafiq. What is he? That person who is a munafiq is also a kafir. What is the difference between a munafiq? Munafiq means that outwardly he is saying, "I am a Muslim." Inside there is kufr. Like in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like there are many people in this world today also, they will want to play games with the Muslims. They will say, "We are Muslims," but actually they are not Muslims. So you get munafiqs. So munafiq is the second category of kufr. Now, a lot of the people only have two understanding of kufr. One is kafir and one is munafiq. The third group of people who are far more dangerous than any of the kufr that we have been mentioning now is the kufr of that person who is a zindiq. What is he? Can you repeat the word? Zindiq. Plural, zanadiqa. Zanadiqa. Singular is zindiq. Zindiq and plural is zanadiqa. Who is a zindiq? Zindiq is that person who will want to make that which Islam has made haram, or that which Islam says it is a form of kufr, they will make this totally halal. What is it? So, they will always call themselves Muslims, but what Islam has made haram, they will make it halal. They make it halal. That is why to make halal what Islam has made haram, and if that is your aqeedah, you're a zindiq also, and that is the levels of kufr. Allah save us. So this is something that is very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And just to give you a few examples, before we go into who are the zindiqs of this world. In Islam, we have one concept in order to protect the Islamic brotherhood. And that is, when you are a Muslim, you have to remain Muslim until death. What is it? You have to remain Muslim until death. And Allah save us, Allah save us. Why? Because that is the only key to Jannah. If a person is a renegade, a defector, person who turns away from his deen, then according to Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, the four schools of Sunni thoughts is that he will be executed. There will be capital punishment and he will be killed. What will he? But this is only in an Islamic Khilafat. What is it? In an Islamic Khilafat, and nobody can take the law in his own hands. It is only the state and the Qazi and then the proper courts that are there and the proper sentencing that is done. It's not up to an individual that he can just cast a fatwa. It doesn't work that way. It is in an Islamic Khilafat. So according to our ulama, what we call qisas, if a person from Iman goes to Kufr, he will be executed. Now you'll find in the modern world, you know, people blow up their eyesight like this. No rights, no human rights. What do you mean no human rights? It's very easy. You know, if you people want to live like the kafir, then why do you live in an Islamic state? Just go there. What do you have to do? Just catch a train ticket and get out. Isn't it? Catch a plane and get out. Itna easy tumhare liye. Get out. Go. So, even in the modern world that we live in, the most heinous of crimes that a person can commit is the crime of treason. The crime of treason. Espionage. That you are going to another country either to get into their system, speaking their language, acquiring their citizenship, marrying them, being part of them, getting into their system, and then passing vital information of that government who you are working for and you are spying for that government, and you give them all that information. In this modern world that we live in, generally for a person who commits this crime, treachery, betrayal to your country, treason, imagine, you know, I mean, in some parts of the world it's an offense to burn the flag or to step over the flag. To step over the flag. People take great offense to that because, you know, for them, their country. And people have been executed because of that. And so, for an example, I looked it up. You had this husband and wife, Julius Rosenberg, married to a lady called Ethel. They were giving Russia all information about the atomic power of the US. And they were caught and they were put to the electric chair in America. They were put to the electric chair in America. Executed. In UK, between 1940 to 1946, 19 spies were caught by the UK government and all of them were killed. All of them were killed. So generally, when you pass on an information like that, when, you know, treason, betrayal, treachery, these are serious offenses. Serious offenses. The same in Islam. Why? What was happening? The people of Makkah, mushrikeen in Makkah, and the munafikeen in Medina started playing a game. They said, let us make the Muslims weak. We get new people who become reverts to Islam in the morning, and then in the afternoon, in the evening, they say, oh, we are leaving Islam to play a game. So other people start doubting. So this game being started to play. Then, you know, Islam has to take out the whip. It's a capital punishment. What is it? It's a capital. Just like treason. It's a capital punishment. So in Islam, there is this capital punishment. Now, according to the Sharia, if someone has left Islam, then 3 days are given to him. How many? 3 days are given to him for someone to explain to him and remove the confusion. If he accepts, good, alhamdulillah, No problem, out, you're fine. If he doesn't accept, then he will be executed. Now, that is for the murtad. That is for the murtad. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh and Imam Abu Hanifa in his one fatwa, Imam Malik, his fatwa that he gives, and Imam Abu Hanifa in one of his fatwa has mentioned that we will not even accept the tawbah of a person who is a zindiq. Understand how dangerous it is to be a zindiq? Imam Malik says he will be executed. Even if he says, I'm doing tawbah, we will not accept that. We will give him the punishment because the offense has been committed, and we will say the rest is with him and Allah. The rest is with him and Allah. Because the damage that a zindiq causes to the Muslim community and Islam, no one else will cause in that way. So even the tawbah of a zindiq, according to Imam Malik and one fatwa of Imam Abu Hanifa, it is not even accepted. Baat samajh mein aaya nahi? Itni baat samajh mein aayi? You understand this much? So now, which category do the Qadiani people fit in? The ulama unanimously agree that they are zindiqs. What are they? Zanadiqa. What are they? Zanadiqa. Why? They say outwardly, we pray towards the Qibla, we eat halal, we have masjid. You know, in London we've named our area Islamabad. You know? Our names are Muhammad, Ahmad, Yusuf, Abdullah. We get married. We read Surah Fatiha. We pray 5 times a day. Nobody has a problem. The extremists are the Maulvis. Who are they? Maulvis. Maulvis have this hasad and jealousy with us. They don't like us. They're calling us kafir. But why are the Maulvis calling you kafir? From everybody, why you? You see, when you read their books, my respected brothers and elders, the level of kufr I'm explaining, we know the ordinary kufr that is out there, but we are talking about, you know, something that is specialized kufr that is hard to detect. And these are the people who will want to make the fundamental aqaid of Islam, which Islam prohibits, and Islam has taken it to be an article of faith, they will want to give it another meaning to it. So for an example, there's so many, but one, is that the fundamental aqeedah in Islam is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last messenger. What is he? The last. Everybody knows that. For 1400 years, no dispute. Everybody knows about that. Muslim knows Allah's Nabi is the last Nabi. No other Nabi has come. So anyway, what happens? And where is this mentioned in the Quran? مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. So here it says وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. The ulama say خَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ means that he is the last of the messengers. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani and the Qadiani crew do the tampering here of this Ayat-e-Kareema, and they say, no. The billions of Muslims have not understood. And from the time of Huzur alayhi salam, born in the 7th century, 14 centuries, nobody has understood this Ayat-e-Kareema, only we have. So here, khatam in Arabic, they say it means a seal, a stamp. What does it mean? A stamp. So here what they are saying, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to stamp someone as the prophet, then he is a prophet. Then he is a prophet. Because the stamp is by who? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So can you imagine, from the time of Huzur alayhi salam until now, according to them, nobody has been stamped. But only this one ugly man like this. Have you seen his face? Have you seen Mirza Ghulam Ahmad ugly? You know. I was in Guinea-Bissau, And the Qadianis had opened up one office there, so I had a big, you know, mashallah, day, everybody comes for bayan, it's in the open field. I said, look, you know, what do you want me to do a bayan? I said, I'll only do one thing. I said, look, a Nabi is handsome. A Nabi is, and I had this big picture of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. So I said to all my brothers in Africa, I said, brothers, look, is this man handsome or ugly? They looked at him, ugly man, very ugly. I said, yeah. Jazakallah. Ugly. So this ugly man, they say that this person, Aliyazu Billah, has been stamped by Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be a Nabi. So much so that in their books, Kalimatul Fasl, Mirza Bashir, goes as far as saying, if a person believes in Musa alayhi salam, doesn't believe in Isa alayhi salam, he's a kafir. If a person believes in Isa alayhi salam, doesn't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's a kafir. If a person believes in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, doesn't believe in Mirza Ghulam, he's a kafir. And so when people asked him that, you know what, why don't you read a different kalima, Mirza Bashir, the khulafa, they said to them that, you see, we don't require another khalifa, another kalima, because when we say Muhammad Rasulullah, by saying Muhammad we mean Mirza Ghulam. So this is what you call zindiq. What is it? That you are making the fundamental aqaid of Islam, which are unlawful, to tamper or to, you know, violate in any way. What you are doing is misrepresenting and showing the world that a different way. So my brothers, you have to be very careful today. And like Qadianism, most of the ulama in agreement that Shia, Isna Ashari are also non-Muslims. Shia, Isna Ashari are also. Why? The same concept. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani is one Nabi. They have how many? 12 Masooms. How many? How many Imams after Huzur alayhi salam, they say? The only word they don't use is a Nabi very cleverly. What they use is Imam Masoom. What do they say? Hazrat Ali, Imam Masoom. Hazrat Hussein, Imam Masoom. So who is Imam Masoom? Look at how they also, you know, break Islam, dismantle Islam, make a mockery out of Islam. And this is what you call the Zanadiqa. So what they do is they say, all the Masoom Imams are Masoom, like Anbiya. Anbiya did not commit any sins. Our Masoom Imams will also never commit any sins. And our Masoom are better than Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. They are only not better than Huzur alayhi salam, but every other prophet we are better than them. And their kalima is also very different. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah wa aliyun waliyullah, and they say something like kalimatul fasl, kalimatun bila faslin, something to that effect. They also have a very different adhan. So even the Quran is different in a sense. They're saying the real Mahdi will come and show the Quran. So my brothers, we have to be very careful of these pop-ups. What is these pop-ups? Fitna, kufr. There are people, LGBTQ people becoming zindiq, Muslims, ladies wearing a scarf. Huh? Where does it say in the Quran, this is LGBT to become a queer, I don't even know how to pronounce some words, eh? To become lesbian is wrong, and to become gay and homosexual is wrong. In the Quran, where is it in the... So what are you doing? What are you doing? That what the Quran, Allah has said, it is guna, you are making it. So it is the zanadika, the zindiqs of the modern world, that you have to be very careful. So who are the zindiqs? You see, a hypocrite you might know, a kafir you might know, they are easy. But a person who is in your community, praying namaz, reading Quran, crying, doing all sorts, going for Hajj. But to identify if he is a zindiq, you have to have special lenses. And what are his aqaid? What is his aqidah? What is he saying? Does it go against the Quran? Does it go against Sunnah mutawatir? What does it go against? Is he disrespecting Sahaba? Is he calling Hazrat Abu Bakr kafir? Is he calling Hazrat Umar kafir? Gone. Hazrat Aisha? Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. So you have to be very careful, my respected brothers. The Maulanas don't like to sit here. You know, Maulana have got a very hard job, you know. Our job is very difficult, you know, to speak the truth. In the environment like this, it's very, very difficult. But you have to understand, if you're going to protect the generations to come, you have to understand what is right. So how many levels of kufr are there, my brothers?
Three.
One is the general kufr, other religion. Number two, munafiqeen. Munafiqeen are also there. And number three, the zindiq now topple are getting higher. What are they? Higher. And that is why don't forget the fatwa of Imam Malik. What did he say? According to me, we don't even accept the tawbah of a zindiq. Another general murtad we will accept. But the damage this person does, there is no. We will execute him and then we leave the rest to Allah. Now it is between Allah and him because Allah knows what is his real condition. If he did tawbah, then just between him and Allah. But the punishment will be given to him. Like in this world, there are certain crimes, even if you say, I forgive this person, but if you have committed the crime, the sentencing will be there. You will be charged. It happens. So Imam Malik also follows this policy. So we have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Allah give jazai khair to these ulamas, you know, who have become shaheed, but they spoke the truth and they explained to everybody, the likes of Maulana Haqnawaz Jhangvi, subhanallah, the master in the field of aqaid and shiism, and exposed and talked to the people and protected the Sunni, you know, environment. The Sunni concept was protected. All of our mashayikh, all of our fuqaha, and all of the masters of aqaid, you know, Sunni aqaid, and it's so important. I was just listening to one taqreer by a sheikh. He was saying, you know, that he was in Medina Munawwara, and this Arab, very pious Arab, Madani Arab came, and he said to Sheikh Khalil, that the person who was doing the lecture, he said, he came to me and he said to me, Sheikh Khalil, ta'rif Haq Nawaz, ta'rif Haq Nawaz, because you're from Pakistan, do you know Haq Nawaz? He goes, nah. He says, but where did you read Haq Nawaz? He says, did you read him in a newspaper or somewhere? He goes, no, come to me in the house. So went in the house. He says, you know, yesterday night I saw a dream. He says, and I know the name Haq Nawaz. So I'm asking you, who is this scholar? So he says, I saw in my dream that there is the majlis of Huzur alayhi salam. Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Osman, Hazrat Ali, Khulafai Rashid are there. Ashray Mubashara are there. The 10 who were given Khush Khabri of Jannah were there. And then all of a sudden one man comes from the door. And they say, Haq Nawaz is here. Haq Nawaz is here. He comes into the majlis of Huzur alayhi salam. Then Huzur alayhi salam stands up and he says to the Khulafa, stand up. And Allah's Nabi took an amama, and Allah's Nabi was tying the amama on his head. And then he put this amama once around the head, and he said, Abu Bakr, you stand up, and then take the second tie. And he tied it. They said, Uthman stood up. And then Ali, you stand up, all tying amama on Haq Nawaz. And he says, in my dream, in Parda, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was at the back. And Hazrat Aisha said to Huzur alayhi salam, that on my behalf also tie this amama on my son. And Huzur alayhi salam tied it on behalf of Hazrat Aisha. His entire life this man dedicated his entire life in protecting the honor of Sahaba and in protecting the honor of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Such a wali of Allah that he used to say that people tell me, Maulana, we will pay, go for Hajj, go for Umrah, do this, do that. And he would say, if I go to Umrah and if I give salam to Huzur alayhi salam, what face will I show him when in my country there are still people who are swearing at the Sahaba and my mother Aisha? Until I don't sort the rubbish that is here, I am not going to go anywhere. Waliullah. So that is why, my respected brothers, our aqaid have to be strong. We should love one another. Don't report your brothers. Don't disrespect your brothers. Don't make a person who has no iman happy. Don't, you know, sell your brothers. Why? Why we don't become one, united, protect ourselves. Protect ourselves. And we should be very, very careful. Look at the other communities, how they protect themselves. But today, unfortunately, Muslims are sellouts. Little things, you know, we are sellouts. We give information here, we give information there. This person talks like this, this person is this, this person is that. This person did this, this person did that. Why? Our fundamental duty, my respected brothers, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimu akhul muslim la yadhlimuhu wa la yuslimuhu. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Inshallah, we also have a program for Shabe Barat here after Isha on a Monday, inshallah. So brothers are reminded to come, inshallah.